Well, it's great to be with you tonight. As I said a moment ago, you know, this is the last, you got to get this straight in your brain, the last Christmas Eve of this decade. Is that strange? It's just, where did the teens go? Is that what we're calling them, the teens? 20s will be easier to say, but it's the last one. So this Sunday, we are going to have a last service of the decade. We're going to do it together. Both services are meeting next door at 9:15, and so I wanted you to know that so you come to the right place at the right time. So everyone say with me, 9:15.
9:15.
Everyone say, go blue. Okay, that's... That's another, well, thank you. Thank you, Ben. There's one in every crowd. Anyway, you know, Christmas Eve is an awesome time, and I always feel blessed to get to share it with anyone that I do, and I get to share it with you tonight, and that's pretty cool. You know, I really believe that most of the time we are a pretty distracted people. Most of the time we don't understand and notice the spiritual things that are going on around us. We miss the voice of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we're just distracted. It's just the reality of life. So many things going on. But on a Christmas Eve service, we come to kind of refocus and remember what it's about. So that's what we're here. I wanted to tell you a little story tonight before I go to the prayer time. And it comes from the book of Joan and the Whale. Sort of like Jonah and the Whale, but this is Joan and the Whale. A book written a number of years ago, and it's a story about a Christmas Eve service, kind of like what we're doing right now. And in the story, the pastor mounts the platform and wears a fine and fancy suit, which is why I wore a suit tonight. Someone told me I should dress this way every Sunday. I just said, give me a call. Next Sunday you'll be here. I'll do it, you know. But at the service, the pastor mounted the platform, and he looked good in his new suit, and all the eyes in the place stared at him. And on that Christmas Eve, they were really looking for something. They were looking for a blessing, and maybe that's why you're here tonight too, looking for a blessing. The anthem that night was going to be "Angels We Have Heard on High." But the pastor, Pastor Torgerson, decided that he would read a scripture first. So he said, would everyone turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2? And just about that time, a shocking-looking pair of visitors busted in the back door. The man was tall and blonde and had a bushy beard, and he was a near skeleton in his filthy navy pea coat. The woman was very, very, very pregnant, and wore just a dress and a tattered sweater, and everybody in the church began to whisper, Christmas Eve, and here this strange couple is, and someone in the back row whispered, I wonder if they're even married, you know, and someone else said, I've never seen the likes of these people in our church before. This is quite interesting. As usual, from her little spot in the seat, Missy Everett just sort of stared back and looked and seemed confused as ever. She was always confused. So Pastor Torgerson sighed and welcomed the scraggly strangers. We're glad you're here. Sit right down and make yourself comfortable, which was not easy because the only seats available were the really, really good seats in the front. And so they made their way to the front, and all the eyes of the folks in the place kind of stared at them. And the pastor said, as I was saying, Hebrews 13, verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for in doing so, some people have entertained angels without even knowing it. Well, he said, perhaps you have read the stories that angels visit on Christmas Eve, and so let's remember that our Lord himself wasn't recognized, and let's make room in our hearts for him tonight. So the choir began to sing, and everyone just sort of stared at this strange couple in the front row, and the pastor thought, a bearded man and a pregnant woman on Christmas Eve seeking shelter, and he thought to himself, I wonder if they have a donkey parked out back. We do entertain angels without knowing it. After the anthem was over and the choir had finished, it was time for the pastoral prayer, and they decided that night they would sort of pass the microphone around, which we're not going to do tonight, but they were going to pass the microphone around and hear prayer requests. And the pastor said, please, just really briefly, as you share, just a brief moment tonight would be great. And so he passed the microphone out, and wouldn't you know, Missy Everett was the first one to grab the microphone. And he reminded her again, just briefly, Missy, just briefly. 5 minutes later, she finished rambling along. Everyone was embarrassed because they had no idea what she just said. But then the young man in the front row stood up and said, I don't know anything about church, but my old lady, I mean my wife, and me, we needed a place to stay, and we saw that the lights were on, and so we came in, and the pastor said, we're glad to help you. And by the way, what is your name? And the guy said, my name is Joe, and my wife is Mary. Everyone in the place began to whisper, I wonder, they thought, I wonder. And the pastor preached about reaching out to others as the Lord of Christmas did, and the service ended. And everyone stayed for cookies and coffee. By the way, you can stay for cookies and coffee, but we don't have any. Okay, I'm just telling you. But everyone stayed for cookies and coffee that night, and the whole congregation just sort of fussed over this couple, a chance to show some hospitality. And they brought them plenty to eat, and they gave them a place to stay. And meanwhile, over by the coffee pot sat Missy Everett, staring and squinting into the distance and looking confused as ever. And then, almost on cue, she put her cup down, looked at her watch, and nobody noticed as she walked out the door. Nobody noticed. The night was cold, and she struggled with her arthritis as she mounted her three-wheeled bike. Remember those? And she pedaled away, so frail, she thought, these mortal bodies, so frail. And she headed through town. And as she pedaled, she could hear the ice crunching in the puddles beneath her tires because it was cold. And she passed the city limits sign, and she began to wheeze. And she knew after a moment or two she could go no longer, and so she slowed and she parked on the side of the road, and she got off of her bike. The highway was deserted. Only the stars in heaven watched as she climbed the sloping field beside the road. And she began to gasp for breath, and a dog barked in the background. No one else. Christmas Eve, she thought, just like that first one so long ago when she had sung with the others. But that had been easy compared to this assignment. This time she had taken on a body for such a long time, and she stretched and she felt pain. It was good to be going home, she thought, good to be going home. And she closed her eyes and reached heavenward, and her hands began to straighten out, and her wrinkles began to go away. Going home, she thought. Brighter and brighter, her face began to shine. Her old clothes disappeared, and an angel's robe came on. At last, she thought, at last. And then there was a silent flash, and Missy Everett was gone. It is a mysterious night, is it not? I mean, in the best of ways. It is a mysterious night. God does show up and do marvelous things, not only this night, but any night. But we are, as I said, a distracted people. And so tonight we need to focus on this God who wants to show up and surprise us in some pretty awesome ways. And that's why we're here, to focus and to direct ourselves. Why don't we pray a minute? Could we do that? God, we thank you for this amazing night. So many years ago, you chose to send your son into this world to face the cold, to face the wind and the elements as he had never faced before, to face the limitations of human body, to face pain like never before. We thank you, O God, that you did that for us. Father, we just admit we are distracted people. We do easily get confused. We miss everything that's spiritually going around us. And the scripture says we might even entertain angels unaware, and we should watch out. We don't exactly know what that means, but we ask you, God, to make our hearts open for whatever you would have for us tonight. May the distractions go away. We ask this in Jesus' name, and he taught us to pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You know, there is nothing like a live nativity to prepare you and make you think of Christmas. So I want you to watch this little video of this live nativity. I think you'll appreciate it.
Freeze. Good job, everybody. Let's take a few minutes. Good job.
Whew. It is like 1,000 degrees out here. No thanks to global warming.
Again, global warming and hot flashes, two totally different things.
I'm starving. Can we please take a snack break already?
You ate a whole bag of cheese puffs 15 minutes ago, Jim.
And?
Marty, we've been at this day and night for a week. We're exhausted. Besides, it's not really a live nativity. We have stuffed animals.
Look, everyone, we make do with what we've got. This is our last performance of the Nativity, and we have been entrusted with this esteemed honor.
Esteemed honor of carrying out a 103-year-old tradition by the oldest church in Corncatcher County. We got you. Yeah, we got your little pep talk about 10 pep talks ago.
Amen to that. Can anybody even see me back here?
I've got hay fever, Marty. Do you know what irritates hay fever, Marty? Hey.
Sorry about that, Bob. I tried to find hypoallergenic hay, but the men at the feed store just laughed at me.
Why am I in the bag? Did I mention I was a stand-in on an episode of Touched by an Angel?
Highway to Heaven trumps Touched by an Angel every time, sister.
Apparently you've never seen an episode of Charlie's Angels.
It's not the same thing, Bob.
I'm smelling an undertone of a hazelnut. Definitely hazelnut.
I think it's plastic.
Look, Marty, none of us signed up for this.
You signed up for this. Literally, you all signed up for this.
My wife signed me up for this. I'm out.
I signed up to play Mary.
And nobody would believe that.
Whatever happened to making do with what you've got, Marty?
Let's go, guys. These Applebee's coupons don't use themselves. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back, baby back.
No.
I want my baby back.
It's not the same restaurant.
I was buy one, get one.
Okay, listen,
out of line.
No, I'm not out of line.
No.
I'm trying to put on a show.
No, don't come in here like that, right? I know, right? He's got a deal. He had a plan and a move, and you're trying to tell us you're not in charge of the whole world. That's not the way this works. No, that's not the truth. And you know it. My friend was just going to try to help us. He's trying to be a good steward and helping us, and you're jumping in on all of this.
Oh, look at you. So tiny and peaceful and perfect. A lot like baby Jesus. He deserved so much more. But this was God's plan. God gave him a mommy to take care of him. He chose shepherds to tell everyone. Wise men came and visited him. God even gave him an earthly daddy. A lot of imperfect perfect people. But God always makes do with what he's got. And that perfect little baby grew up and saved us all. He showed us what real love looks like. A love that cost him everything. I just adore him.
Just adore him. I love that girl's words. I just adore him. Once upon a time in Bethlehem. You know, I think we would have more live nativities around here if it was 100 degrees as opposed to what we might end up getting, you know. Once upon a time in Bethlehem. Tonight I was driving in my car and I heard a song I've never heard before, and it was just, "Where Are You, Christmas?" That was the name of the song. Do you know the song? "Where Are You, Christmas?" And I thought to myself, you know, for the first 50 years of my life, I was either a kid or had kids hanging around on Christmas morning. But it's different now. Maybe it's different for you than it used to be, too. You know, where are you, Christmas? And I realized I just needed to be focused and have my eyes open, and I would see Christmas plenty clearly. And it happened once upon a time in Bethlehem. Actually, it all began before Bethlehem. As you well know, God decides to send his son to this world. And what does he do? He chooses a really unbelievably young and naive and innocent girl who is also spiritually available. And an angel is sent to her and says to her, "You're going to be with child." And if she had never been shocked before in her life, she must surely have been that night. And she said, "How can this be, since..." She's literally, "How can this, it's impossible." And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. God himself will do this. And as proof, even your cousin who is old, Elizabeth, she's with child too." Elizabeth had been barren for years and years and years and years and years, and it was considered an embarrassment and a curse. And all of a sudden, God does a miracle in her life, and the miracle in her life is she's expecting a child too. And that child we would later know as John the Baptist. And so the angel said to Mary, "Even Elizabeth..." And so she thought, "I'm going to go see my cousin Elizabeth. I haven't seen Elizabeth in ages." And, you know, she lived in the sticks. It was hard to get around. There certainly were not many roads. You couldn't talk on the phone like you can now. So talk about distance. And she headed to see Elizabeth. And there was Elizabeth. And as soon as Elizabeth sees her, the baby in Elizabeth's stomach, John the Baptist, bounces and jumps and leaps. And Elizabeth spent the next 3 months encouraging her. "You're going to have this baby. It's a God thing. It's going to be good. It's going to be cool. It's going to be awesome." We all need somebody to encourage us when we're in a challenging spot. And she was in a challenging spot. She was betrothed to a guy named Joseph. Joseph was probably a few years older. Betrothed means she was engaged on steroids, okay? Engagement plus. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how they met, if they knew each other before their parents got together and said, "I wonder what it would be like for our daughter and your son to be married." Arranged marriages, they were a pretty awesome thing. I think to myself, they'd be pretty good today. What do you guys think? How many of you would like to arrange a marriage for your kids? Anybody have that in mind? Of course, it's too late. Too late. Well, no, it's not too late. It's never too late. Well, it's not too late, Sabrina. I'll help your mom out with that, okay? We might embarrass you, though. But it was an arranged thing, and somehow they met each other, they crossed paths, whatever they did, and they liked each other, and they agreed to go along with it because you kind of had to go with the program or agree to it, and they agreed. And so they were in the second stage of a relationship, which was the betrothal. When you were betrothed, you had 1 year before you were going to be married. When you were betrothed to someone, you did not share the same bed or the same house. You waited for all of that. That was tradition, that was law, that's how things were. And during the betrothal, it was so serious. It was so serious, such a strong commitment that if one of the partners died, if he dies, for instance, she would be considered a widow, though a virgin. Isn't that interesting? A widow, though a virgin. I mean, that's pretty serious stuff because she's married, but she's not, and it's kind of a strange thing, and she's with child, and it's time to go back to Nazareth, and Joseph sees her, and can you imagine what he thought? I mean, I'm going to marry this girl, and she's got some profound things going on, you know? How could this be? It wasn't me, and then he thought to himself, I guess I don't even know her. Why would she do that to me? Why would she? And his heart was broken, and you know, the thing was, he still loved her. He still loved her, but he thought, what am I going to do? And he thought, well, I got a couple options here. I can marry her and be the talk of the town. Like, what were they up to? I could take her out to the city gate and have her stoned to death because that was the law. I could divorce her. And he thought, I'm going to divorce her quietly. And an angel came and intervened. Once again, Joseph, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. What's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And so he takes her under his wings. In that land, it was occupied by the Romans. I mean, it wasn't a free country. If you wanted to cross a bridge, you had to pay a tax. And just so you'd pay it, there was generally, behind the tax collector, a little soldier with a spear ready to make sure you did your duty. If you wanted to do anything, you had to take a tax. And in the middle of that, Caesar Augustus, the emperor of Rome, decided, I need to count all the people in my kingdom. Isn't that something? I count sheep myself, but and so he ordered a census, and as you know, well, here's the story from Luke 2. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He needed to go to his ancestral home, which was Bethlehem, because that's where he had to be counted. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. I've always thought that what that meant was they get to town and all the hotel rooms are taken up, you know? Of course, it was a town of 1,000 people. When I was privileged to be in Bethlehem about a year ago, our little guide, a little Palestinian woman, said, you all think that there was no room. She said, that's not really the story. It wasn't that there were no rooms available. There were no rooms available to them, because of the situation they were in. There was no rooms available to them. And then finally someone said, how about you take the place the animals hang out, you know? How about you take that place? And to that place they went. And the baby was born. And you know, that part of the story. And I would like to think that if he came to my house, I'd have room for him, you know? Wouldn't you like to think that? I hope there's plenty of room in your life for him now, because you need him. And the text goes on to say there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby. So there's shepherds just outside town keeping watch of their flock at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were scared out of their wits. Terrified, okay? But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." And I love this. "Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, on whom his favor rests.'" Suddenly, this great company of angels. You know, if you ever found yourself in a place where there were not a lot of lights anywhere, we don't have such a place around here, do we? You know, you go outside, you're seeing the glimmer of light from somewhere. Oh, that must be Elkhart over there. Or that's Granger over there. Or, you know, whatever it is. But if you're in a place where there's no light and it is completely dark and suddenly this massive choir of angels, you probably couldn't even look at them. And after they heard this, they said to one another, "Let's go see this thing that has happened, the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found them lying in a manger. Once upon a time in Bethlehem. Once upon a time. You know, there wasn't room. But in our lives, there's difficulties when it comes to Christmas too, isn't there? I mean, family gatherings. Does not everyone have someone in their family you sort of have to tiptoe around, lest they blow? Because you know, they're going to blow at any given moment. It's just what they do, you know. There's tension around Christmas, you know, family conflict, expectant kids. They have their list in mind, you know. And we hope for a peaceful Christmas, but so many times it's exhaustion. I think, honestly, mothers have a worse time than fathers do when it comes to the exhaustion thing, because they try to make everything be just right. Isn't that right? And they're just shot. And by the time they get to the point of being shot, things are very, very difficult for everyone involved. Conflict. Conflict. You know, once upon a time in Bethlehem, happened a long time ago, angels and wise men came. And it must have been an amazing night. Last Christmas Eve of the decade. You know, I've been thinking, I wonder what the greatest things that have happened in the last decade in my life have been, the greatest moments. If you thought about what was your greatest moment in the last decade, I mean, I suppose that it could have been when any one of the litter of my granddaughters were born. I mean, those pretty great moments, having a grandchild, is it not? Or if you had a child, that would be a great moment. Or if you got married, that'd be a great moment. You know, I thought, what was the great moment? I thought, was it being able to be in Israel, a lifetime dream come true? And I thought about it, and I remember the moment. It was the first Sunday of 2017. I was in church. That day, I was going to baptize a girl who was about 23, newlywed, with child, never been in church her entire life until the last few months before that, spiritually seeking, trying to figure it out. How do I connect with God? How do I, you know? And her whole family shared the story about how they met Jesus, and then one day alone and digging in the Word, She turned her life over to Christ and everything changed in a heartbeat. And that Sunday, first Sunday of 2017, she came out to be baptized. And I said, would you like to say anything? Brooke, that was her name. And Brooke said simply, yeah. And then she just sort of stood there silently. And then she said, I never thought it would happen to me. I never thought it happened to me. I never thought. I saw all these people with joy and peace in their life. I never thought it could happen for me. And it happened for me. And she told about giving her life to Christ, and I baptized her. I think that was the greatest moment in my last decade. Just to get to hear the girl share, I never thought it would happen to me. Her whole family was there. I think they were utterly freaked out, to tell you the truth. What happened to her? It's confusing. So what is your greatest thing of the last decade? You know, in those days when babies were born, singers usually came. Actually, they did. It was sort of a tradition. They would come and serenade the child on the first day or two of their life. But for Jesus, the only serenading he got was cows and sheep and all the others. It was a different kind of serenade. I was thinking about Bethlehem. You know, I think the story of Bethlehem is, even if there's no place for you, God will find you a place. even if you seem to be humble in appearance, God will use you for mighty things if you're just open to that possibility. Even if you're very confused by what's happening in your life, like Joseph was, and you're willing to go along the ride, God will still use you. If you're a wise man, God will use you. If you're a shepherd, God will use you. And the shepherds are the most scandalous thing of them all because they were really considered bad people. And yet, that's who God chose to give the good news to. From Bethlehem, we learn some amazing things. Amazing things. You know, if you go to Bethlehem today, and I hope you do, if you want to go into the Church of the Holy Nativity, massive building, the oldest running church building in the world today, 1,500 years old. But you have to, there's a low little, there was a tall door, but during the Crusades, people were bringing their animals into the church and defiling it. And so they built up a stone thing that in order to get into the Church of the Nativity, you actually have to bow before you get in because you have to come in humbly. That's the rule. That's the rule. It has so marked the place that honestly, it's always Christmas in Bethlehem. Always. No matter when you go. Once upon a time in Bethlehem, God chose to send his son into the life of a young girl. And we are so distracted, we forget the reason for Christmas so quickly. One of my favorite things to do is to watch a children's Christmas program. Have you seen some children's Christmas programs over these? I used to love them. I have to admit, I have not been able to be involved in a children's Christmas program for several years. At my last church, the reason we couldn't have them, it wasn't because we didn't have a lot of kids, because we had a lot of kids, enough kids to drive us crazy at times, honestly. But the reason we couldn't have a children's Christmas program is because the kids were one weekend with one parent and the next weekend with the other parent, and we never knew when we could get them all together to practice them. And so we couldn't have a Christmas program. And I come here and we have kids, but just not quite enough. And I keep encouraging you folks to have more kids. But at this point, you know, but I love Christmas children's programs. I read a woman named Jo Carr tells about a children's program she once attended. Fantastic it was. All the songs had been sung, all the candles lit, the shepherds had come and peeked at the baby, the wise men had brought their gifts, the angels had given their message. And then the cast of the Christmas story began to leave. First the wise men trotted away, and then the shepherds, and then the angels. And pretty soon it was just Joseph and Mary, and Joseph starts to leave, and Mary humbly begins to follow. And then all of a sudden she turns around and looks and sees the baby still in the manger, and she goes, grabs him by the leg, and shoves him under her arm. She didn't want to forget Jesus. I don't think we do either. I want you to cradle him, to sing to him. He loves you, and I want you to know that. And that's the best news of all. Why don't we pray? Could we do that? Father, once upon a time, you did some really awesome, miraculous things. Once upon a time in Bethlehem, you came charging into this world in the form of an infant, your son. Oh God, we don't understand it. We can sing about it. We can worship you. We don't understand it with our rational minds, because our rational minds, oh God, they're just too complex. I just ask that you would help us to break through all of that and to clutch and grab that baby and adore him for all we've got, and to invite him to be the center of our life. We thank you for the sacrifice he made on our behalf. And, oh God, I just ask that you would help each one in this place begin to grapple with this baby Jesus. We ask in his name. Amen. Tonight we're going to take a special offering. We do special offerings once a year, Christmas Eve. This is Christmas Eve. What's the special offering going for? Half of it's going to help fund the Hope Emergency Fund, so when people are in crisis, we can help them. And they are in crisis year-round. The other half is going to the Bishop Baird Emergency Fund. He's working on crisis throughout the world. So if you want to give to that, that would be great. Anybody wanting to give to the general fund, I hope it says so on your envelope so we know what to do with it.
Appeared, and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night divine. So led by light of faith, serenely beaming with glowing hearts, by his cradle we stand. So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from the Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger, in all our trials born to be our friend. He knows our need, to our maters, no danger. His pawn, a king, before him lowly bend. Behold your king, your king, before him bend. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. And in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Then ever, ever praise we his power and glory evermore proclaim his power and glory evermore proclaim.
Thank you for sharing that beautiful music with us, and I hope you do it for a number of years. You know, I've only been here for 3 years, but it seems to me like it would not be Christmas Eve without you singing, so thank you for that very much. We're going to grab our candles. I want you to remember, in the Gospel of John, it says, the light has come into the world, the true light of light. And it shone in the darkness, but the darkness understood it not. It feels to me like a lot these days, there's a lot of darkness around us, isn't there? I don't mean just because it's past daylight, but there's a lot of darkness. I guess that's a scary thing, but the good thing is if we shine the light, it ought to be able to be seen pretty brightly. Let's stand and sing Silent Night, and